morning and welcome. It's week 7 of the legislative session. You are on the Florida League of Cities Monday morning call-in. Thank you for joining us. For those that are new, even though it's week 7, we start the call with each of the lobbyists going around the horn, giving their updates for the week. Good morning and welcome. It's week 7 of the Florida legislative session. We are having some technical difficulties this morning, so hopefully you can hear me. I trust that you can. We have a busy week ahead. We're going to start going around the horn with each of the lobbyists, talking about the bills that are moving and where we need your help on the advocacy front. Once the lobbyists have shared their updates, we'll go into question and answer, where you'll have an opportunity to ask about particular bills that are moving that you have questions on. Please note, this is a 30-minute call, and so it's not possible to cover every single bill that's been filed, but I would encourage you to go to the league's website, flcities.com, hover your mouse on the advocacy tab. Halfway down, you'll see bill summaries, and you can see a complete universe of all of the bills that the League of Cities is watching and working on. All right, we have a busy week ahead, folks. This is the last full week of committee meetings. We have long agenda blocks and long agendas. Lots of bills are in their final committee stop, and ultimately their fate is really judged by whether they get out of committee this week or not. Also going on in the background, we're beginning the budget negotiation process where the House and the Senate are starting, at least the subcommittees are starting to put final numbers in place as they begin their budget negotiations over the next 2.5 weeks before we end the legislative session. So with that as the introduction, I'm going to kick it to Charles Chapman for the finance and tax update.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hopefully everyone had a wonderful weekend. I want to bring to your attention the Senate Finance and Tax Committee meeting on Tuesday this week at 12:30 p.m. There are three bills that I would like to bring to your attention. The first is Senate Joint Resolution 1510 and the implementing bill, Senate Bill 1512, both by Senator Avila, who happens to be the chair of the Senate and Finance and Tax Committee. These bills are proposed constitutional amendments that would extend a property tax exemption and assessment cap to rental properties for Floridians who currently own and experience a homestead exemption on their primary residence. This bill is scored by the Revenue Estimating Conference to have a $1.4 billion negative impact to local governments. Our request from you is to help us oppose this bill by reaching out to your senators and letting them know how bad of a deal this is, that there are no protections in the bill to achieve the stated goal of furthering affordable housing, and that this is just not good policy. This committee is only 6 members strong, so it should not take you long to reach out and tell your local story about how you use property taxes and how important it is to your community. The next bill I wanted to bring to your attention is Senate Bill 1664 by Senator Trumbull. This is entitled Local Option Sales Taxes. It would mandate that referendums for these local option sales taxes be held every 8 years to be affirmed or voted down by the voters of your local jurisdiction. So these taxes are things like the tourism development tax, the indigent care sales surtax, the local 1/2-cent infrastructure tax, and many, many more. We need your help. This is actually moving in both chambers, and we need you to tell the story to oppose these bills because of how good these 1/2-cent sales taxes are in helping you achieve your infrastructure and programmatic goals back home. The last one is a monitor. It is Senate Bill 7034. It is a placeholder bill, so if you go to the Senate website today and look it up, you will not see very much in terms of entertaining reading. But this is the proposed bill number associated with the Senate tax package. Last week, Senate President Albritton released a memo stating his priorities to be in the tax package. We have not seen the actual language of the bill as of yet, Therefore, we do not have a position to share with you, but please keep this on your radar as soon as we have a chance to analyze it. And if there's anything of concern, we will let you know. And with that, I will kick this over to David Cruz.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning, everybody. I have three bills to discuss this morning. First up is a bill dealing with community redevelopment agencies, or CRAs. It's House Bill 991 by Representative Gia Lombardo. It's going to be considered in the House Commerce Committee on Tuesday at 1 o'clock. This is a bill opposed by the Florida League of Cities. The bill does three things. Number one, it would say that all CRAs in the state have to end by the year 2045. Number two, it says that your CRA would no longer be able to fund a new project. New project is defined as anything that's not in this year's budget. So essentially, after October 1st of this year, your CRA would no longer be able to fund any projects. And then lastly, the bill says that no new CRAs can be created in the state of Florida. So it's a very concerning bill. If your city has a CRA, I would encourage you to reach out to your member on the House Commerce Committee and express your opposition to that bill. We'll be working on an alert to give you some more details as to who to contact and expect that to come out later this morning. But again, we oppose House Bill 991 by Representative Gia Lombardo. Next bill that I want to discuss this morning is the Sovereign Immunity Bill. This is House Bill 301 by Representative McFarland. This bill is going to be considered by the House floor, the full House, on Wednesday of this week. The bill has been amended slightly, so this is what it does now. It increases sovereign immunity limits. Currently, they're set to $200,000 per person, $300,000 per incident. The bill is going to increase these for the next 5 years to $500,000 per person and $1 million per incident. After those 5 years, they're going to increase again, and the new limits then after 2030 would be $600,000 per person and $1.1 million per incident. In addition, the bill would allow cities and all government entities to settle any bill, even if you don't have insurance above limits, without having to do a claims bill through the Florida legislature. And additionally, the bill would prohibit insurance companies from requiring the passage of a claims bill in order to pay out a claim. These are all provisions that the League of Cities opposes. This is a bill that would impact all cities in the state of Florida. So I would highly encourage you to reach out to your House member and express your opposition to increasing the sovereign immunity limits in this way. And again, that's House Bill 301. Last bill to discuss this morning is another bill that's going to be considered on the House floor on Wednesday. This is House Bill 569 by Representative Kendall. The bill primarily deals with charter school and public school zoning issues. There's two preemptions in the bill that I wanted to bring to your attention. First one is that it would preempt cities and counties from having what's called a stacking ordinance. This is when cars line up for drop-off and pickup at a school. Usually those cars could line up and flow out into the streets and surrounding neighborhood areas. And so cities try to regulate how these cars line up. If a city's or county's ordinance impacts the amount of students that get enrolled at a school, that ordinance would be preempted as a result. And this would apply to both private schools and public schools. The other provision in this bill only applies to charter schools, and it says that your city could not require a special exemption or a conditional use approval in order to approve a charter school being started up, even if that's converting an existing facility into a charter school. And with that, I will pass it over to Matt.
Well, thank you, David, and good morning, everyone. The first bill I want to put on your radar will be heard in the Senate Rules Committee on Wednesday morning, and that's Senate Bill 818. Relating to utility relocation. This bill would mainly shift the costs for relocating telecom utilities from the private sector onto the public sector. Currently, when utilities are interfering with a public roadway project, the utility provider is required to pay for the cost to relocate their utility as it's existing under our streets and in our right of way. This bill is being proposed by the telecom industry, who's seeking to rewrite history and claim that the communication services tax is intended to fund these utility relocations. Now, we know that this is not the history of the CST, that CST was created in 2001 to replace the patchwork of fees to exist in the right-of-way and to maintain it, but it was never intended for utility relocation. And so the League is opposed to this legislation, as it would shift hundreds of millions of dollars from the private sector onto the public sector, simply for an investor-owned utility's cost of doing business. Now, this is the final stop in Senate rules, and the House bill is primed to be heard on the House floor. And again, that's Senate Bill 818. You'll see an alert coming out from the league later today with some more details and talking points. But our ask here is to reach out to your legislators, specifically anyone on the Senate Rules Committee, and share the impact this would have on your city, forcing you to absorb the costs of an investor-owned utility. The second set of bills I want to put on your radar is Senate Bill 712 and House Bill 683 that will both be up tomorrow in the Senate Approves Committee on Agriculture, Environment, and General Government, and the House bill will be up in the House Commerce Committee. Now, both of these bills will be up tomorrow afternoon, and it started as a full preemption on local government's ability to regulate synthetic turf. Now, the league has started as opposing this bill and worked closely with the stakeholders to try to get it in a place where there will be regulation on this policy area. The bills have both been amended to ensure that the preemption is delayed to allow the Department of Environmental Protection to establish the minimum standards. And so as both of these bills will be heard tomorrow, we're closely watching to make sure that no amendments pop out and change where we stand on this bill. And with that, I'll pass it over to Rebecca.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning, everybody. I have two bills I wanted to bring to your attention this morning. The first one is House Bill 1523 relating to utility services by Representative Busada. Folks, this is the Enterprise Fund Transfer Bill. Yes, it is back. This is, it's going to be up in Commerce tomorrow at 1 o'clock. This bill puts a 10% cap on Enterprise Fund transfers from electric, gas, water, sewer utilities, and it also eliminates the automatic 25% surcharge on extraterritorial water and wastewater service. This is its last committee stop in the House. The bill is proceeding as we expected. We do expect the House to continue to push this bill. The Senate bill has not been heard. The next bill I want to mention to you this morning is affordable housing, Senate Bill 1730 by Senator Kalatayud. This is the Senate's version of updating the Live Local Act, and it is on the Senate special order calendar to be considered by the full Senate on Wednesday at 2 p.m. And if you're interested in what's happening with the House version of affordable housing, House Bill 943, it is ready for its last committee meeting, but it is not on the agenda for this week. If it is heard again, it will be heard next week in the House Commerce Committee. So no movement this week on the House Affordable Housing Bill. The Senate version of it is going to be on special order on Wednesday in the Senate. Now I will turn to Sam Wagner.
Thank you, Rebecca. And from the Municipal Operations Policy Committee, we have two bills for you this morning. We've got Senate Bill 110 and House Bill 1427. This is the Rural Communities Bill. The sponsors are Senator Simon and Representative Griffith. We're currently still monitoring these bills. This is a central priority of the Senate President. The bill that modernizes support for fiscally constrained counties, providing $50 million in addition to those counties. Our ask is that if you're a city in a fiscally constrained county, that you reach out to your representative and explain why a city within a fiscally constrained county should also get direct funding from the bill. The Senate passed its bill out of committee and it's out of the Senate and it's sitting in House messages. The House bill will be up in its second committee stop tomorrow in the Health and Human Services Committee. The second bill, the set of bills I have for you, Senate Bill 954 and House Bill 1163. This is the Recovery Residence Bill by Senator Gruters and Representative Owen. We are opposed to these bills. They designate certified recovery residences as non-transient residential use for zoning purposes. It mandates that cities and counties allow these residences in multifamily residential districts without requiring any zoning changes, special exemptions, or land use approvals. Both the Senate and the House bills are moving. The Senate bill will be up tomorrow in the Senate Health and Human Services Appropriations Committee. Our ask is simple. Contact the members on that committee and let them know how this bill will impact your area. The House bill has one more stop. It is not up this week, and then we'll see if it's going to be up next week, the last possible chance for that. And with that, we'll pass it back to Mr. Casey Cook.
Thank you, Sam. I know we've thrown a lot of bills at you. I have good news. We will send a summary of today's call out later this afternoon, as well as a link to the recording so you can go back and listen to it. So it's time to transition into the question and answer portion of the call. If you'd like to ask a question, you'll press star nine to ask a question. And when recognized, please state your name and the city that you're affiliated with. All right, we have our first question in the queue. Go ahead.
This is Ken Schneier, Mayor of Lombok Key. I have a question about the bill that would allow a tax exempt or a homeowner exemption for a one rental property. And the way it was described just now was that it's for those who have a favorable rating and have one current rental property. Sorry for this. And I'm wondering whether someone under this bill could add a rental property in the future and bring that under the homestead operation as well.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, so this bill currently does not have any sort of caps on it as far as the number of rental properties. So if I own 10 rental properties and I also own a homesteaded property in Florida, I could extend that homestead exemption and the benefits to all 10 of those rental properties. And so this bill is being sold as a way to help solve the affordable housing crisis. I prefer to label it the Rich Get Richer bill.
Oh, wow. So any number, but does it also include future rentals? So if someone went out and purchased another rental property after this bill becomes law, would it apply to that as well?
So this is a proposed constitutional amendment, and should it be approved by 60% of the voters, yes, future rental properties that were purchased could enjoy those same benefits if somebody had their homestead exemption in Florida.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. All right, next question.
Good morning, Jennifer Vizcarra, Sunny Isles Beach. Regarding the sovereign immunity, so the new numbers are based on an amendment that passed, right?
Good morning. This is David. Yes, that's correct. The bill was amended at its last stop, the House Judiciary Committee, and so those are now the numbers in the bill. That's the 500,000 and 1.1 million.
Okay, and
that increase after 5 years.
And then that's it. There's no incremental anything, you know, beyond that. Those will be the two changes, and that's it.
That's correct. There's no tying this to some sort of CPI that it would annually increase more. These are the two changes, and that's it.
An important clarification is that is the House bill. The Senate bill has not been heard in its first committee of reference. And so those bills have different numbers at this point. But this was the House's, I think, initial offer of 500 and a million that's currently in the bill. The Senate bill remains unchanged and is stuck in a committee that's no longer meeting. Now, all that being said, there are still ways for the Senate to hear the sovereign immunity issue should they choose to, but it would probably result in referring the House bill once it passes off the House floor to a Senate committee and hearing it there. But we haven't heard any rumors of that so far. But we seem to be in a decent spot on the Senate side, recognizing the bill hasn't been heard in the first of its three committee references.
So we can be a little optimistic on that, maybe.
Yep.
Okay, my other question is one that we haven't really talked about in a while, but I received some communications about the recreational customary use of beaches. That's 1622. And I was wondering if there's anything going on with that. Apparently it was blocked. by they call it gatekeeping, and we're a coastal community, so we were concerned about that one.
Good morning. Yes, you got that right. Senate Bill 1622 and House Bill 6043 both deal with recreational customary use on beaches, and the House bill has been moving. It's on its way to the House floor. It cleared all three of its committees of reference last week, and it's on the calendar for second reading. The Senate bill still does have one more stop to go and would be heard in the Senate Rules Committee. And it's not on the agenda this week, but certainly could be up on Monday of next week. And so those bills are moving pretty far along, and they're primed to continue.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. That's all for me.
All right, next question.
Commissioner Ortiz, City of Orlando. Good morning. Have anybody heard anything about? Good morning. How you doing, Casey? You guys are doing a wonderful job. Have you heard anything about the annexation bill, counties and cities? What is that at?
Good morning, Commissioners. This is David. I would say there's only one annexation bill that's been moving through the process, and that's one that would require any annexation of state-owned property to a city would have to notice the local legislative delegation ahead of annexing state-owned property. That's the only issue that I think is currently in play at this time.
All right, appreciate it. And a quick question is, anything about local elections being paired up with the presidential and midterms elections?
Thank you. I'll go ahead and take that one. There was a Senate bill that was filed that would have standardized municipal election dates and essentially forced every city to move to the August-November election cycle. That bill got one hearing. It has not been heard in its second committee of reference, and there is no House companion. And so I don't think that one's in the cards this year.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right. Next question. Next question. Go ahead. All right. Who's up?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Rich Reed from Lake Park. Thank you all for everything you guys do. You're always all on top of it, and we can't thank you enough here in Lake Park and around the state. So thank you guys. Could you provide a quick update on where we are with the CRA bill on the Senate side, as well as an update on where the governor's request to remove all property taxes? Could you guys give a quick update on that? Thank you.
Hey, Rich. Good morning. This is David. I'll take a crack first at the CRA bill and then pass it over to Charles. But I would tell you that on the CRA bill, the Senate bill is pending before the Senate Rules Committee. It is not scheduled to be heard this week in the Senate Rules Committee. However, the Senate Rules Committee still has a meeting scheduled for next week. We won't know that agenda until Wednesday of this week. And so at this point, that Senate bill is very much alive. It's still in play, but it just hasn't been a reference for this week. With that, I'll turn it over to Casey, actually, to answer the second question.
Yeah, and Rich, just, you know, your question was essentially the governor has been, having press conference after press conference talking about wanting to eliminate property taxes and asking for a status update on where things stand. So right now we have really three, I think, different proposals that are out there. You have the governor who has been championing eliminating property taxes. Now, the governor doesn't file bills, and there are no bills that would eliminate property taxes out there. I think that the governor is looking ahead to the 2026 legislative session. Contrast that, though, with the House's approach, where instead of doing anything with property taxes, the House has actually proposed a permanent sales tax cut from 6% to 5.25%. And the argument on that side is that this provides relief to everyone, not just homeowners. then contrast that again with the Senate proposal, which is some sort of blending of the two ideas from the governor and the speaker. The first, the Senate is pushing a scaled down sales tax proposal, specifically a permanent sales tax exemption on certain articles of clothing and shoes, I think valued under $75, plus some sales tax holidays, plus a study that would direct OPAGA to look at the viability of eliminating property taxes and to make some recommendations back by November 1st of 2025. And so right now you really have three really different ideas. Two of those really matter, the House and the Senate, and those will be, in my opinion, subject to budget negotiations as far as what that final tax package looks like or the tax ideas that are incorporated and passed by both bodies for the governor to sign. And so all of these conversations are happening behind the scenes. We anticipate them continuing well into the next probably 2 weeks, and it's really too early to tell where they're going to land the plane on the tax side of things. A property tax study, I think, is an okay outcome for us, because I'm confident in what we do and how we're funded and the story that we'll be able to tell. But that's where things stand as of Monday here in week 7. All right, next question.
Yes, hi, Lisa DeVito from Crescent City, Florida. Thank you for the great update and everything you're doing. I just have a comment, and that is about the property tax study in the Senate president's idea of the tax package. I think that's a super idea. It just occurs to me when I look at this panoply of bills, the legislature doesn't seem to do too many studies. We are doing the work that they used to do. Someone has an idea and they just put it out there, and we are scrambling about like their research assistant. And I'm sure many other people are too. And it just seems to me that the tax study is good because of the subject matter that certainly needs study, and as an example of how to do appropriate, thoughtful legislation that doesn't cost everybody else an arm and a leg while they're doing it. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Yep, good comment, Lisa. All right, next question.
Good morning, Casey. This is William Whitson in Orange Park. Just a quick question on House Bill 569. Is there a Senate companion if it passes the House floor? Is there a way to bottle it up on that side, or is this thing looking likely to go?
Hey, good morning. This is David again. The Senate companion bill for that charter school zoning bill is very much in play. It's also pending before the Senate Rules Committee. It's not going to be heard this week, but like Casey mentioned, that's one of these committees that's going to meet late into session. And so it could very much be considered the following week. And so at this time, I would say they're both in play and certainly looking like they're teed up for passage. So it's important to express any concerns with that with your members.
Okay, done. Thank you.
All right, last call for questions. All right, folks, stay close to your devices. It's moving fast and furious here in Tallahassee. We have a busy week ahead of us, and then Monday and Tuesday will also be busy. An important day for you all to remember is next Tuesday. That's 8 days from now. That is day 50. And that's the last day for regularly scheduled committee meetings. And so there is a big push to get as many bills as possible on those agendas. So we have our work cut out for us, but I think we're up to the challenge. Stay close to your devices, respond to alerts when you see them. We will see you all, or talk to you all, next Monday, same time, same place. Y'all have a great week.